and welcome to today's Heartbeat, where I'm going to talk on the aspect of love. But I'm going to come up from it, I guess, from a different slant. I love the story of the three wise kings. It just appeals to me that these learned men who were intelligent, they were wealthy, they were kings, so they had this royalty upon them, this position God had given them, and they leave their countries in the east to travel to the west to find the Saviour, to find this king, this baby king they'd heard in the prophecies that was going to be born. And we don't truly know the year when they arrived, but they arrived not when he was still a baby, when he was grown a bit more, like a little toddler, because they've travelled that long, that distance, that far. I'm going to read part of Matthew's Gospel about the story of the wise kings. It's Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who's been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." It goes down further because they stop to ask Herod, who's a king, "Where's the baby?" Not realizing that Herod wants to kill Jesus, that he's been trying to be deceptive to them and saying, you know, "Oh, come back and tell me when you find him because I want to pay him homage too." Yeah, as if. And the wise kings set out, verse 9, chapter 2. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. So they hadn't even seen Jesus yet. And just because the star of Bethlehem, which was designated and was announcing Jesus's birth, stopped, they knew they were close, and they were overwhelmed with joy. Have you ever been in a situation where you get goosebumps and you're just so excited because something's about to happen? You're about to meet someone, or you know, it is Christmas Day. It's so exciting. Maybe it's your wedding day, it's your birthday, and you're overwhelmed with joy. From verse 11, on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. So the first thing they did was worshipped God, worshipped this child. Did they have a sense, because of the prophecy, that he was the Messiah? They truly believed it, because they were kings themselves. They knelt before this king. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I love it that they've brought gifts. They've brought gifts, but they've thought about the gifts. One brings gold because it pays homage to the gift of a king. It represents Christ's royalty and kingship. It's a gift valid for this king, this baby. The next one brings frankincense, which is an aromatic incense used in religious worship. And it was symbolizing Christ's divinity and priestly role. Now, did they understand this? I don't know. But the Holy Spirit, to each of them, had shared with them, had impressed on their heart what were the gifts they should bring. And the next one was myrrh. And myrrh is used as an embalming oil, an ingredient in anointing. It really symbolizes Christ's death and resurrection. Again, did they truly know this? But the Spirit did. And they brought these beautiful gifts to bring to Jesus. I then think, well, you know, Jesus, his gift was himself. God, the Father, looks down and goes, I need to send a Savior, so I'm going to send my one and only Son. Because what does it say? God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life. No greater love is someone who lays down his life for his friends. No greater love. Well, in 33 years' time, Christ Jesus, this baby, will lay his life down not just for his friends, but for his enemies, for everybody in the world to have that chance, that time again, I guess, to accept eternal life. It's our choice. God grants it to everyone. We need to choose. So once again, Jesus has come and he's brought us himself. His gift is himself. His gift is his love, his eternal life forever. It makes me reflect, what is my gift to Jesus? These kings have brought their gifts. Jesus himself has given us his gift himself. What gift do we think we could bring our Lord? Could it just be the gift? Not just. The word doesn't mean, oh, just as if it's a, you know, a mistake, it's a throwaway. But maybe it's the only thing I can bring. Worship of myself, surrender of my life to him, homage, adoration. What gift can you bring the Lord? Can you bring the gift of the best love that you have for him? Bring the gift of yourself to him, because that's what he desires. He desires us to be in his family, to say, yes, I am a daughter, I am a son of the living God, to accept his offer of this eternal life with him. That's the best gift that we could give our Lord. But think about it this week as we step closer to Christmas, when Jesus comes to the world. What gift could you bring to your God? And if you don't know him, still answer the question. Still maybe pose and say, Lord, if you were real, if there was truly this God offering me this eternal life, what gift could I bring? Only you can answer that. I know I would love, I would and I will pay homage and adoration and worship to him. And I've already decided to give my life to him in whatever way, form, attitude, thing he desires for me. Think about it for yourself. What gift would you bring to Jesus at Christmas time?